Howdy, howdy do, Who fans, and welcome to the Big Blue Box Podcast. My name's Gary.
My name's Adam.
And welcome to episode 325.
Yeah. One day, I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back. Until then, there must be no regrets, no tears, no anxieties. Just go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine.
Our lives are different to anybody else's. That's the exciting thing. Nobody in the universe can do what we're doing.
I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow, so the TARDIS should be free of the force field now.
You may be a doctor, but I'm the doctor. The definite article, you might say.
But the trouble with time travel is, one never seems to find the time.
Change, my dear. And it seems on a moment too soon.
Unlimited rice pudding, etc., etc.
I am the doctor!
For now, for this moment, I am the doctor again.
The ground beneath our feet is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. And the entire planet is hurtling around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. And I can feel it. We're falling through space, you and me.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect. But actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective view, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
I could be a curator. I'd be great at curating. I'd be the great curator.
I could retire and do that.
I'm the doctor. I've lived for over 2,000 years, and not all of them were good. I've made many mistakes, and it's about time that I did something about that.
Bit of adrenaline, dash of outrage, and a hint of panic knitted my brain back together. I know exactly who I am. I'm the Doctor. Sorting out fair play throughout the universe.
Hey, 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 Doctor Who fan. Welcome back to another week of the Big Blue Box Podcast. I hope you've had a cracking week and that you've managed to do something Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Related. Relatable. Yes. 325, bud.
Oh, it's relatable. Yeah, 325, yeah.
We've got a bit of news to speak about, which is good.
Hurrah!
Hooray. Surprising news in a way. I thought it was, anyways.
You gasped. You dropped your tea.
Yeah.
Mouth open.
My gasp was truly flabbered. Actually, it's not that crazy, really. It was just a... we'll come on to it, but it was just one of those, oh, I thought that would have been all done by now, but...
Yeah, I did, yeah. There. Same.
And then we're on to our review of Torchwood, the finale of Series 2, which is another hooray moment. Hooray!
Yeah, that we finally reached the end of Series 2. This has been a long time coming, hasn't it?
Indeed. I feel like we've been saying every week for ages, it's like, yay, we're nearly at the end of Series 2 and we're finally here. So we'll be on to that at some point. But welcome back, listener. Hope you're keeping well and safe. And, dude, no BFI, sadly, this week.
No.
That's been and gone. But have you done anything Who-related?
Not a great deal. I went to a convention on Saturday. There was a couple of Who guests there. It's in London. But I didn't meet any of them because they were kind of people I'd all met before. So it was like Fraser Hines was there, who seemed to be having a blast, actually. I passed his table and saw some great pics that people got with Fraser. He seemed to be having a great day. And he looked in really good health as well. But I'd met all the Doctor Who people there. So there was a load of Blake 7 people there. Blake! And so I... Blake! So I went and met them. And it was a pretty cool day. So like people like Glenys Barber and that sort of thing. But to Who related, not a lot. The only exciting thing that's happened in my Who world this week is that they, BFI, randomly announced that they were doing the next screening of Galaxy 4. It kind of like, you know, it was great. It just sort of came out of nowhere straight away. And so I was thinking, oh yeah, tickets will probably be on sale next month. And then people were like, I think it was Maria actually, our roving reporter, messaged me and said, oh, they're on sale tomorrow. I'm like, tomorrow? What? So I managed to bag a ticket for that, which I'm very pleased about. So it's like the cogs are turning again, dude. We're like, we've got to be due a Blu-ray announcement soon. We've got to be due a Blu-ray set announcement definitely. Soon, surely. Because it seems like the BBC are they're firing up the cylinders and they're really getting these animations out, aren't they? We've got Evil of the Daleks next week. Is it next week it comes out? I think it is.
It is next week, yeah.
Yeah, and then Galaxy 4's coming out. Really nice steelbook for this one coming along. Have you seen it?
I have, yeah. It looks lovely.
Yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? Yeah. So I'm very pleased that I managed to bag a ticket for that, and I'm pretty sure Maria did as well, so that's pretty cool. But apart from that, dude, I haven't done a lot this week. It's been a quiet one for me.
Yeah, Snap.
What about yourself?
Snap, yeah. Dude, yeah, slow one on the old Who. I was excited about the Galaxy 4 because it's another little cool little cog in the old series of animated stuff, which is good. As long as, like you said, the cogs are turning on that stuff, which is great. Mm. Which is all good. So, Galaxy 4. No one really talks about that one, do they?
No, it's a funny little Hartnell. It's a four-parter, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time since I've watched that. I can't even remember how many episodes are missing, or I'm pretty sure they've got at least one episode survives, haven't they? Maybe even two, I can't remember, but... Yeah, not sure.
I think they've animated all four parts, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool, then. Yeah. I think there was a website knocking around called Galaxy 4 that you could order DVDs and stuff from. Are they still going?
Who's that, sorry?
There was a website called Galaxy 4 knocking around. Are they still going?
No, Sheffield guys. No, sadly, I think they've gone.
Yeah.
I'd had some really good stuff from them over the years. I think they were Sheffield, I might be wrong, but sadly, Galaxy 4, the shop, is no longer around, I don't believe, man. Which is a shame. They were good. Yeah, they were around for ages as well. Really good little Who shop. I'm not sure if I'm getting the story confused or not, but because it's so long since I watched it, I think Galaxy 4, isn't that the one with the monster with the big eyes that's kind of just lurking behind a screen for most of it, going, and
you
staring
are correct.
At... Quite looking forward to rewatching that one, actually. A bit of Hartnell. It's just nice to see some Hartnell getting animated. I mean, yeah, we've had a few Troughton ones now, which is fantastic because we need to get those gaps filled. But it's nice to see a Hartnell one getting an animation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So Galaxy 4, dude. Yeah, Broomhill, Sheffield. They closed its doors in March 2020.
Oh, gosh, is it that long ago?
Yeah, their actual shop. But it does say on the website that the portable shop will be attending Doctor Who events across the UK and stuff like that. Right. And you can still purchase stuff from their online shop.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I'm sure I've ordered stuff from them since 2020. Yeah, yeah. I've definitely got stuff from them since then, yeah.
Indeed, yeah. So don't want to do those guys a disservice and tell people that they're out of business completely. They're not there. The website is still rocking and rolling. It's just they haven't got a physical shop. Yep.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, Galaxy 4. Anyway, we'll review that at some point. I'm sure Maria will do a rundown at the BFI, and then when the Blu-ray drops, we'll do a review of that, I'm sure.
Maria did a good report of the last one, didn't she, which has just been published. She did a good report of the Evil of the Daleks one.
Yeah, that's very cool, that. Yeah. Yeah, she got some good feedback. She's really good at breaking down those BFI events, you know.
She is, yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah, thank you, Maria. Before we crack on with the news, though, and then on to our review, as always, remember to follow our show on whatever podcast app you listen to your podcast on. We'd love to have you as a follower. You can listen for free every week. A new episode lands every single Friday. And if you've got a second to leave us a rating or review, if you like the show, that'd be awesome because it helps us out loads and loads. All of our episodes are also available on our website, which is www.bigblueboxpodcast.co.uk. You can listen to all of those over there. Plus, you can read all of the amazing reviews and articles, as Adam said, from Maria and our other writers. So go and check those out. And we're on the socials too, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Links are on the website, or do a search for us. And we have a free Discord server as well. That is free to join. Come and hang out and chat with other Doctor Who fans. It's all good over there. And lastly, remember to follow and subscribe to my co-host channel over on YouTube. It is, of course, The Geek's Handbag.
The Geek's Handbag, yes. I'm working on some, new vids as we speak.
I love that. I'm working on some stuff. Yeah, I'm
working on doing some new stuff. Yeah, in between all the sawing and banging that's going on outside my house from next door. But I am trying to get stuff filmed. Yeah.
Yeah, dear. Yes. Luckily, though, for you, dear listener, there's a ton of stuff over on Adam's channel. So get a drink and get comfy and check all that out. And Adam's on the socials too, if you want to have a chat with him about anything Doctor Who or geek related, under the same name, The Geek's Handbag. So go and check him out.
Indeed.
Right, dude, let's let's land it and get this news done.
Yeah.
As I said, kind of weirded out by this one, because under the impression that it was all done. I'm referring to Series 13, of course, and we've had an update that's sprung up on, I think it's Wales Online, the website, yeah. Wales Online, and then a follow-up, a kind of a follow-up that the Radio Times covered from John Bishop. So, Series 13, sorry, go on, dude.
No, I just wanted to quickly just jump in case, because I know some people, this could be classified as a spoiler, that's all. I just know that if you don't want to know anything about 13, then just skip forward a minute or two.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Good shout. Yeah. Good shout. Yeah, so this could be considered a spoiler, as Adam said. So just put your fingers in your ears or skip forward. This will probably take us about 10 minutes to talk about this. So, right, so Series 13 is now properly wrapped. So this is not the wrapped that we knew about a month ago. It's not the wrapped that was wrapped 6 weeks ago. Now they've properly wrapped. It's like the full-on legit wrap, apparently. And it's all done. And the reason we know that is because... So the first story, I'll come back to this one in a second, but the second story that the Radio Times covered was a tweet that John Bishop had popped out on the... When was this? We're filming this on Wednesday the 22nd. So on Monday, just gone, the 20th of September, John Bishop put a little video out on his Twitter account, basically saying that he's now done and wrapped. It's only about 30 seconds long. He just basically says that's him done now. Everything, it's basically eaten up a year of his life, apparently. So roughly a year ago when he was cast and started production and all that stuff. It's taken quite a while. Obviously, COVID has not helped all that stuff. So this is one of those things where I thought, wow, this seems really late in the day to be wrapping when we're supposed to be getting Series 13 drop, I would say any week now, because we're at the end of September now, aren't we? And then, so this is our last episode for September. We're going to be in the middle of the beginning of October over the next week or so. And it sounds a long time. You know, we've got, 12 weeks until Christmas. So when the supposed Christmas / festive special drops, we normally have a gap, don't we, of a few weeks before then, because at the end of the last episode of a series, we normally get that little Doctor Who will return for the New Year's Day special and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if they might just run straight into it. I'm not sure if they might leave a gap. Anyway, the point is John Bishop has only literally just wrapped filming. So I know it's a bit of a piggyback thing where they've probably got the first few episodes done and sorted, and now they'll race now to get all the edits done and all that stuff for the stuff he's just finished. But there we go. I'll stick a link to the show notes on that. It's a cool little video from John. He says he looks over the moon, to be honest with you. He doesn't look like... a thing that we've spoken about a few times is when we've seen people like Peter Capaldi and Matt Smith, when they've rapped on Doctor Who, they look like absolute crap.
Yeah, absolutely knackered.
Completely, yeah. Whereas John Bishop, he looks he looks lively and happy, and he does say that it's been absolutely brilliant and he wouldn't have swapped it for anything, and it's all good. So that's all good. And then the follow-up story. So this is the one that's a slight spoiler for people. So 3, 2, 1, spoiler alert. Bradley Walsh has also been spotted in Cardiff with John Bishop and Jodie Whittaker around Cardiff. And this has come from Wales Online, and this is a story where they've nipped over to a little coffee shop. Basically, there's an area of Cardiff called Grange Gardens in Grange Town, and they were filming there. There's photos, there's the whole crew, there's the TARDIS prop and everything. And one of the local coffee shops, there was a lady that runs that. Her name is Zara Ali. Bradley Walsh, John Bishop, they went over and grabbed a coffee. And it seems like a really cool little... Dude, if we were around there, it would have been amazing, because the article goes on to say that Zara, who runs the coffee shop, she basically says, I thought they were just taking shots of the TARDIS, but no, John Bishop came up, then Bradley Walsh and Jodie Whittaker, she saw them. And she goes on to say that they were just how you see them on TV. She said it was the same. They were relaxed and very approachable. They were friendly. considering that there was quite a few people taking pictures. And they said that they stopped and talked to a few people that were sitting outside the coffee shop. It was really nice. They were approachable and friendly. They were making jokes and hanging around. So, dude, if we were there, if we were just propped up outside having a coffee, we could have had a picture and a chat. But so the filming pics are all good. The crew's all there. And then she goes on to say that she's seen Doctor Who being filmed loads of times around Cardiff, specifically around Grange Gardens, but not actually in the gardens. And then she said that she's seen Jodica. That's a cool name. Come on.
I like it.
She's seen Jodie Whittaker from afar, but has never really been up close. So that was really cool and stuff like that. So what do you reckon to this, dude? First of all, I want to get your thoughts on two things. The first one is, does it also seem to you that, because this article only landed yesterday,
I know,
on the 21st. So the first thing is, does it seem that this is late in the day for you, that they are still filming?
Mm.
Albeit, you know, it's probably coming to an end now. And secondly, what about Bradley Walsh turning up?
Yeah, so the filming thing, I'm really confused by that because it does seem really late in the day. But then people are telling me it's for this is the wrap on the centenary special. So I'm like, oh, right. So it could be that. But then that seems like the other way. That seems too far forward. I would assume that would still be in production. So I'm really confused if this is like wrapping on series 13 or wrapping on those three specials that they did. But that's what people are telling me. They're saying this is a wrap on Jodie's era. This is it. You know, she's filmed her final scenes. So I don't know if that is the case, then yeah, that kind of makes more sense. But I really don't know if it is series 13. Yeah, it feels really late in the day because like the special effects people must be pulling their hair out if they've got to get this already. So I'm really not sure what's going on with the filming, mate. But my understanding of it is that this is Jodie filming her last scenes. So that's the way I'm to understand it. But I really don't know. As for Bradders coming back, it's kind of cool to see him. But I do wonder, there is this chance he may have just been passing by or he may have been in the area and being like, just wanted to say hi to the old crew again. I don't know. I mean, look how he's dressed. This is the thing. Is that Bradley Walsh dressed as Graham or is that Bradley Walsh dressed as Bradley Walsh?
I think one in the same thing. I honestly think that.
It is hard to tell, isn't it? I really don't know. But my gut feeling is that he is going to be in it. And I'm assuming it's like a goodbye to Jodie. Either he's, going to rock up to the TARDIS and say, all right, Doc. And there'll be a sad emotional goodbye, or he'll appear as a flashback or a hologram or something. But I think he's probably in it. But there is that chance he was just passing. Oh, I'm just going to nip and get a coffee. Oh, gore blimey gov, they're filming Doctor Who in the park. I didn't, what a coincidence, but I doubt it. I'm pretty sure he's in it, which is great. I'd like to see him come back. I think, he was a really good part of Jodie's era, I think. So, it'd be nice to see Bradders back.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, because although he had a few little episodes where he wasn't really doing much and stuff, he was a cool bit of comedic value, I suppose. And his character did progress a little bit.
He was great in Series 11, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was. I remember he's probably the best thing about Series 11. Mm. He was really good in that. So yeah, no, it'd be cool to see him back. I just quickly say about John Bishop as well, because you were saying about him being thrilled to be in it, and I do get the feeling he's had a blast. I mean, every interview I've seen him in, he's really just genuinely seems like excited and happy and like a kid in a candy shop that he's been part of Doctor Who. So I'm quite looking forward to seeing his character on screen to see what he's like.
Yeah,
I imagine he's going to be like John Bishop, but we'll see.
Yeah, he does say in his video as well that after the experience of filming Doctor Who, he's come up with or he's managed to grab a ton of material, I assume for his stand-up comedy stuff. So it does sound like he's had a really good time, which is good.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want is like, oh, yeah, it was all right.
I just keep thinking back to that Peter Capaldi, that interview where at the end of Series 10, where he was just like, I'm really tired. And he just looked absolutely wrecked, didn't he, poor guy? It's a grueling schedule, I think. Although maybe not so much on this one because they've only done the 6 episodes and, well, it's probably still grueling, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's probably not quite as manic as it was back in, God, I nearly said it's heyday then, but you know what I mean?
Like we know what you mean.
They were doing a full series.
It's heyday, yeah.
It's heyday.
And just to confirm also, Series 13, it is only six episodes, right?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Six episodes, then we got three specials spread across whenever.
Yeah. So in hindsight then, it probably is part of those specials and whatever centenary stuff for the BBC and stuff, because, yeah, we are so close now to October. It can't have been filming for Series 13.
That makes you think Chibbers has had to write that centenary special really quickly, which worries me a little bit. But then I don't know, how long has he known about it? We don't know, do we? We don't know the ins and outs of the production schedule. But I'm guessing just because it was released quite, you know, the news was released quite recently about the centenary special, that I'm just got it in my head that that was, he was still writing it. I don't know. I just maybe he's had to quickly get it sorted. I don't know.
Who knows, mate?
Who knows?
We will keep you guys updated, of course, as we know more, but we don't want to dive into, we don't do rumours and all that stuff here, so we will we'll keep you updated. But there we go, John Bishop has wrapped properly, Bradley Walsh has been spotted around, Jodie's been spotted around in Cardiff, seemingly wrapping everything up by the sound of it.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Rightio, dude, that's news. We're going to crack straight on with the review. So what have we got this week?
Yeah, so we're finally at the end of Series 2 of Torchwood, and this episode is called Exit Wounds.
I'm going to tear your world apart, Captain Jack Harkness.
They killed the foremost senior officers.
Almost like it was targeted.
Why is he doing this, Jack? What does he want?
If it gets out, Blackmanjir, there'll be a city-wide panic.
What have you done with my brother?
Let's go get ourselves a good view.
What have you done?
We're going to put the city back together. We are going to find Jack and we're going to punish John.
You're no fun.
Go and get out of there. He's completely crippled us, Gwen. What if this is how it all ends?
For some reason, the music, the main theme for that, sounded like a Christmas piece of music.
Christmas?
Ding, fries are done, ding, fries are done.
Oh! I didn't pick up on that, but now you say it, it did a bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do.
It's definitely not a Christmas episode.
No.
For sure.
It's a sad episode.
Yeah. So Exit Wounds, then, to wrap up Series 2, was first broadcast back on the 4th of April 2008. It ran for just shy of 50 minutes. It was written by the Chibonator and directed by Ashley Way. It stars the normal Torchwood Hub 3 team at that point. And the synopsis, very short and sweet, is Captain John Hart returns to have his revenge on Torchwood and take Jack as his prisoner. Jack and his long-lost brother, Gray, don't have a good reunion. Can the rest of the team trust John? Question mark.
Gray!
So, Exit Wounds, buddy. Tell us what you thought of this one.
Exit Wounds. Well, do you know, this really, really surprised me in quite a lot of ways. I was surprised it was written by Chibnall. So when his name came up, I thought, oh, he's written this one as well. B, I was amazed how good it was. Not just because it was written by Chibnall, but just it was just such a brilliant episode. And C, I was just amazed that I hadn't remembered it was such a good episode, because I, although I will have watched this before, probably when it went out in 2008, and I may have watched it again since, I didn't remember anything about this final at all. Even sort of watching it, it was kind of like I was watching a brand new episode that I'd never seen before. So I'm amazed that this hasn't stuck in my memory more, because I thought it was a great episode. And it started brilliantly. I mean, what a pre-title sequence where Jack goes into the hub and Captain John Hart shoots him and he falls in the water or shoots him dead and all this sort of thing. And then the music kicks in and it just, the pace just doesn't let up at all. The whole episode just had me, you know, there's good twists and turns. There's great action sequences. There's emotion. My God, the ending, I'm not going to lie. I was in bits when Tosh died, you know, spoilers people. Sorry. I'm assuming you've all watched it. But nothing, you know, I wasn't sat there thinking, oh, yes, I remember this one now. I remember what happens. Oh, yeah, this is the one where Tosh and Owen die. You know, I wasn't, it was like I was watching a new episode and I just thought it was brilliant. So much so that when Tosh did get shot, I was willing her to survive. I was thinking, oh, she doesn't die in this one, does she? I don't remember her leaving at the end of this series. No, surely like someone will come in and save her. And I think, yeah, I think Owen, yeah, probably does die. And but yeah, so when she did die, I was thinking, oh, how could I forget Tosh died? Like, it's such, and it's really, it really hits home. I think the performances from pretty much all the cast, apart from Gray, are just bang on in this. And you know, we give Chibnall a hard time, but he really did pull it out of the bag for a final in this one. I expected, after such a good beginning, I kept waiting for the episode to have, you know, very often Chibnall episodes have a sort of a lull, so they'll start off great, firing on all cylinders, and then they kind of fall apart. For me, this episode was absolutely just thrilling from start to finish. It just had me gripped all the way through, right to the very, very last second, as the, you know, as we were panning away from Cardiff Bay. I was just like, that was brilliant. Really, I was so impressed by it. So it was a great episode. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, there's loads I want to say about it, but it just, yeah, it was just really good, I thought. Really good. And I was surprised how good. Surprised how much I liked it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just wasn't expecting it to be such a good final.
Okay.
What do you think? Come on, I know that face. There's no way you weren't crying your eyes out when Tosh was going at the end. I was thinking, God, it's a good job we're not sat together. We'd have been like having to fight back the tears. I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah. Something in my eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Oh, you loved it.
No, I kind of liked it.
Really? I thought it was brilliant.
No, I thought it was great. Yeah. Really liked it.
Oh, no.
Really liked it. Yeah.
Which is it?
I really, really liked it, dude. I thought it was a great episode.
Oh,
and like you, I was surprised that Chibbers was 2 for 2.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, two good ones. Yeah, yeah. Really good episodes. Yeah,
because the setup was pretty decent in the last episode. Watch that, Fragments. Mm. That was pretty decent. That was a really good story. And then the stakes were just were reasonably high in this one.
Yeah.
With the... There is one thing that I'm not quite sure on, which we'll come on to.
All right.
Which has me a little bit baffled. But overall, the story was very, very good. Really strong. I think for me, the thing that sells it was not so much the story, the plot and stuff and what was happening. But for me, dude, the performances were great throughout the entire... apart from one, as we'll I think I'm with you on that one,
yeah,
which we'll come on to. But... the performances were just knocked it out the park from everybody, and that's what did it for me, and that's what had me bloody crying like a flipping, like a 3-month-old baby at the end.
Yeah,
because it was so. We'll come on to that scene at the closing stuff of this episode, but yeah, it just they really sold it. For me, it was I'm not sure if it was because the actors knew that this was going to be their, you know, for a couple of them, they knew that this was going to be the last time that they were all going to be together, so they decided to just absolutely go for it and, you know, screw everything and just, you know, do what they felt their characters would do. And it's weird because the very first scene of the episode, you know, when they're all jumping into Reese's car because the Torchwood Range Rover thing has been stolen.
Yeah.
So, you know, they all jump into Reese's car. That's the last time that they're all together at the very start of the episode. After that point, you never see them as a group all together. So you just don't clock that, though. You don't, if you've watched this fresh and you've not seen Torchwood before and you've got to this point in your marathon and you're like, oh, okay, you know, it's, they're going to get through it. They're going to defeat John Hart or whatever. That's kind of weird that's at the very start of the episode you see them together and that's it. Then you just don't clock it until you've seen the episode and you're like, oh crap, you know, the last time. So maybe the actors just thought, you know, this is the last hurrah. I'm not sure what's happening with Torchwood at this point either. I'm not sure if by the time this aired it was already commissioned for its next series or if it wasn't and it was just, it was potentially the last, because there is a bit at the end, sorry to fast forward a bit, but there is a bit at the end where they've just watched a certain video from somebody and Captain Jack is like, well, we carry on, you know, and Gwen's like, I'm not sure we can and stuff like that. So I'm not sure if that was a little prelude to basically say, yep, there's more Torchwood coming, or if the actors were like, we don't know, if it's been commissioned or not. But the performances for me were just awesome, dude, because they just absolutely went for it. Everybody just nailed it. So
yeah, I don't know where, I don't, in terms of production, I don't know if Series 3 had been commissioned at this point or not, because it does have that great sort of it leaves it very open-ended, but it's also a good ending. So there's that possibility to carry on, or if they hadn't made any more, it kind of leaves it in a good place. So yeah, it leaves you wanting more. That's for sure. Kind of leaves you thinking, wow, where do we go from here? And I'm actually now really looking forward to going on to Series 3, Children of Earth, to see how it picks up from here, because I just seem to have forgotten so much about Torchwood. But the stakes were really high in this. I think that's what kept me sort of on the edge of my seat and really engaged in the story with it. They're really out of their depth, you know. Captain John Hart is running rings around them for the first sort of 20 minutes of the episode. He's like, really, like, they've just got no chance. He could wipe them out like somebody's stamping on a fly. He's literally running rings around the whole Torchwood team. And then there's that brilliant twist then, that when we finally, everything just stops for a second and he takes Jack away and finally explains that it's not him. He's being manipulated by Gray, Jack's brother. So then there's that twist, and it's like, I should have remembered that, but I didn't see it coming. I thought this was a story about, you know, Jack and John and the big sort of final battle between the two of them. But actually, no, it's it's Jack's brother Gray that's sort of running the whole show, but using John Hart. And I just thought, that's brilliant, actually. And I love that it all tied in with that stuff that we've seen previously with the, you know, the two brothers, Jack and Gray, when they were younger kids and all that stuff. So that, again, brought things full circle. And I just really liked that element to it. I thought, oh, yeah, I love the way this is tying in with everything. And it's brought back John Hart, but he's not actually the villain that we thought he was. And then he tries to help the Torchwood team, but, of course, he's got to convince them that he's on their side. You know, it's all really good stuff and really well written. And one thing that very often lacks completely for me in Chibnall's Doctor Who is the emotional punch. And this episode had it in bucket loads, you know. So the relationship between Owen and Tosh has been a little bit on and off throughout the whole two series, but it's often been quite clunky as well in the way it's written. It's sometimes felt a bit forced in a way, just like shoved the odd scene in here and there. At the end of this episode, when they're having that discussion, you know, when she's been shot and she's dying and he's trapped in the room, that the writing in that scene, it is so emotionally brilliant, because it's just them finally accepting things and, like, you know, admitting to each other, oh, I should have done this, should have done that. And it was such a good scene that, you know, hats off to Chibbers. It's really, for me, it really kicked an amazing emotional punch, you know. And I think especially because we really like Tosh as a character. And we've often said, you know, she gets often chained to the blimmin' computer screen, and we wish they'd give her more to do. But it really shows that when she is given stuff to do, what's the actress called? Naoko. I never say her name right. Really is a great actress, and she's, you know, she's brilliant as Tosh. I was so sad to see her go, and I loved Owen as well. What a performance from Bernd Gorman. When he's shouting in the thing, he's like, give me one good reason. He's really going for it. It's such a great performance. And I love the way he just suddenly, after he's got all that anger out, just suddenly calms. And then they have that chat. Just honestly, what a great scene. What an amazingly brilliant scene. Like I said, the actors are really going for it in this. They're absolutely on top of their game. All that sort of finding their feet that we've had through Series 1, and the sort of, you know, the writing being a bit uneven of their characters is all just got, you know, melted away. They are totally in the zone, and yeah, brilliant performances from those guys, all of them, really.
Yeah, that's great. In terms of story, it almost feels like this is worthy of a Torchwood feature film. It feels like, because if they added another 40 minutes on, we're talking like 90 minutes. That's a film, you know. They could have easily added some extra stuff in this, because it does feel like it's got that kind of big action film stuff, especially the setup. You know, when John Hart is back and he tells everybody to go up to the roof, and he's planted explosives throughout Cardiff, basically, and he's shut the whole city down. He's targeted, like, the electrical systems, you know, hospitals and the nuclear power station, which ultimately plays a part later on in the story. That all feels very big, kind of. That's a Batman movie. That's like, you know, a Batman villain setting up, you know, blowing the city to crap, and then it's down to Batman to. It sounds silly in a way, but it's
no, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's got that scale to it, isn't it? Whereas, like you said, just the fact that he's so in control at that point, like you're sort of thinking, how the hell are they going to get out of this? He's just blown up half of Cardiff. The Weevils are out in force. They're like, how are they going to resolve this? That's what I loved about this episode, was that it wasn't predictable. And at no time did I think, oh, well, obviously so-and-so is going to come in now and save the day, or obviously this is going to happen. It kept me guessing all the way through, like, how are they going to actually get to the end of this and survive? And as we now know, two of them don't, which is, in a way, great, because although I love Tosh and Owen, there's, you know, the danger stakes are there, you know, people to kill off two major characters. And I don't know if it was, I'm assuming it was their choice to leave. I'm guessing they decided two series was enough. And,
sure.
But yeah, I don't know for the reason for the actors leaving. But I mean, to kill off two members of Torchwood is a brave move, because it does feel, when we just got the three of them left, you do feel like, wow, we're down to three now. Just Jack Owen and, no, sorry, Jack, Gwen, and Yanto, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And it's those, it's right from that moment, really, where the performances really kick in. So when they're up on the roof and they're just completely like shell-shocked, stunned, because in there, although the stakes have been reasonably high in a couple of episodes over the last two series, really, the whole city has never been, you know, in danger. It's always been the entire planet, you know, an alien's going to destroy the Earth or whatever. It's never been like the local people. We've had, obviously, episodes where people have been murdered in Cardiff and stuff, but that's not really anything out of the ordinary that the police would deal with and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
Whereas it feels like this is the first time where they're all just completely like, what the hell are we going to do? Mm. And it's really down to Gwen, isn't it? She sort of rallies them together. She puts a manager hat on.
Yeah.
And cause they don't know what to do, especially at that point anyway, Tosh and Yanto, they're just staring into space. It's like, Jack's gone. He's disappeared. He's been kidnapped. Cardiff's just been blown to hell. It's like, you know, they don't know what to do. So that, for me, is when the performances from the cast really amp up. And they don't stop until the end. So it's not one of those things where, oh, yeah, in the middle it dips down a bit and that person looked bored for a few scenes. And there's none of that, is there?
There's none of that at all. And actually, it makes sense that Gwen steps up to the plate and kind of takes charge, because she's so good in scenes like that, isn't she? When she's trying to help out, you know, with all the people that are injured and what's his name? I always want to call him Owen. Reese. It's because his name's Kai Owen. I always get that mixed up. And Reese, just, you know, I love the fact that he's just seeing her do what she does best, and he's almost admiring her, isn't he? And he starts to support her, because they've had a bit of a rocky relationship up until this point, with him trying to understand, you know, her job and what she does now. And I think, you know, this is a moment when he steps back and actually sees her doing it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And he gets to see exactly, you know, what she has to go through and how she deals with it. And she's such a strong character, Gwen. So it's only right that she steps up to the plate. I love the scene when she first comes face to face with John Hart, when she's like demanding to know where Jack is. She's so strong in that scene, because the sense of like the conflict in her mind of, can she trust him or not? You know, is he telling the truth? Is brilliant. You know, you can really see it in the way she's acting and the expression on her face, that she's really conflicted. Like, you know, is this guy telling the truth or not? So yeah, you know, as usual, a great performance from Gwen. But I tell you, I must give a special mention to James Masters as Captain John Hart, because he was brilliant in it. I love it when you get somebody who gives a performance that's so well balanced. Like, the line he treads between going from evil to actually not being evil to being, he's just such a good character. And the sort of, you know, sometimes people go over the top with those sort of characters. He seems to find this perfect balance between being calm and calculated and quite sadistic. Like at the beginning, you know, the conversations he's having with Jack when he's torturing him, he's really sort of calm. It's a bit, he reminded me of the Master in a few of those scenes. He's got that calm, calculated, evil side that he just played brilliantly. So I really thought he was fantastic in this episode. Yeah, it just really added something extra to what was an otherwise really good episode anyway.
Yes.
Just having him in
it. Yeah. Do you know, he's just turned, as of 2 days ago, he's just turned 59.
Who, James Masters?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah, he's going to be 60 next year.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway, so John Hart, this is the one thing that I'm slightly baffled at. This is the one thing in the episode, I'm glad you brought this up, dude.
Yeah.
In terms of story and character, that I'm slightly bamboozled on. And I'm sure there's a good reason for it. I'm sure the Chibbers has written it this way for a reason. But you know when Jack's been shot, he's got the double machine guns on him.
Yeah.
And he's taken him out so that he can chain him up and all that stuff. We now know, obviously, that we've seen the episode, and that he was being manipulated by Gray.
Yeah.
Captain Jack's brother, right? There's one thing that I am confused about, and that is why he didn't come clean sooner. Because the way that he was written while he was in the hub when Jack was chained up, he was written in a way that he was coming across as the genuine bad guy. And I can't see a reason for him doing that. Because do you know what I mean? Because he confesses to Jack that, you know, I do actually love you. He's got a thing for Jack, obviously. So he professes his love for him like he did in the previous episode that we saw him in. So there's that. There's about a 15-minute period where John Hart is really acting up the sinister, genuine bad guy. Why didn't he just say to Jack right at the beginning? We probably wouldn't have an episode if he had done this. I'm aware of that. But why? I'm just confused as to why he didn't just say to him, look, I don't want to do this. I'm doing it because, and then explain that his brother's back and all the rest of it. I'm being manipulated into doing this. I don't want to do it. But he comes across like the kind of evil cackling Bond villain. Like, even when Jack outrightly asks him, why are you doing this? And he's like, well, you were very rude to me the last time we met. And, you know, he kind of goes on this little monologue. And then it comes to light that Gray's back and he's made him do it. And he's made him set the bombs off and all this stuff. And then you think, well, I don't know, man. Why didn't he just say at the beginning, dude, this is not me doing it. This is someone else. I can't tell you who it is, but I'm being manipulated by a person. You know, I don't know.
It did occur to me much later after I watched. So like, it was really this morning, really, when I was thinking about what I was going to say about the episode. It did occur to me, actually, that, hang on a minute. He seems to almost be enjoying torturing Jack at the beginning. I'm going to put that just down to maybe their relationship, and he just wanted to have a bit, because he knows he's not going to kill him. So I'm just going to put it down to a bit of sadistic revenge for Jack dumping on him. But you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, he probably wouldn't have gone to the extremes he did, really. I think they slightly explain it away, not very well, but when he first takes Jack away to the field where they eventually bury Jack, he does say something like, right, finally, I can tell you we're alone. Or so there is a line in there which glosses over it a bit, but it's not a very satisfactory explanation, to be fair. So I do agree with you. It does seem a bit odd if you look at it a bit more deeply. But I think they do. Do you remember that? He does say something, doesn't he? He's like, oh, now I've got you alone. Finally, you can listen to me and I can tell you. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm being manipulated. But that's all well and good. But if he's taken Jack to that place so he can finally tell him, how come Gray just suddenly swaggers in and's like, well, I'm back and all this sort of thing? It's like, oh, well, so you can tell him with Gray there, just around the, hiding behind a tree, but you couldn't tell him when you're in the hub. It does seem a bit, I know what you mean. It does seem a bit weird.
Yeah, but because they were alone in the hub, weren't they?
They were alone a lot. They were alone on the roof of the castle. Which castle is that, by the way? Is that?
Yeah, it's Cardiff Castle out on the high street.
Cardiff Castle. Yeah. What's the other one that I always get confused with? What's the other castle?
Caerphilly Castle.
Caerphilly. So it was Cardiff, not Caerphilly.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I only want to know because I've been to Cardiff Castle, but I haven't been to Caerphilly. Mm. And I was trying to work out if it was the one I've been to. Yeah, but he could have told him up on the roof, couldn't he, really, or something. There was plenty of opportunities to tell him, but...
Yeah. I don't want to... Yeah. It's not... It doesn't detract from the enjoyment of the episode. It's just one of those things that you think about afterwards. It's like, hold on a minute. Definitely. He could have just been like, look, manipulator, bonded to my skin. Surely there's a fix that you guys have got for this. Let's get this off and then... I don't know. But there we go.
Totally,
that was the only thing, mate. Yeah. So it's in terms of story, really good. It definitely warranted, if there was ever a time that they could go to the BBC. So Russell and Julie, and I think was Chris Chibbers. Yeah, he was still co-producer at this point. Yeah, Chibbers.
Yeah,
they could have all gone to BBC and this story is going to be badass. We need a few extra beans, and we can make this look really good. So it still looks like a standard Torchwood episode. There's nothing crazy going on in like visual effects or anything like that. The only thing we get is the, when they're up on the roof and all the bombs go off, it's obviously CGI fire and everything.
It hasn't dated that well, but it's not that bad, is it? It's passable for the time, yeah.
It's okay. They did miss out a visual effect shot completely though. And you can see why they did it, because it'd be very difficult to do. But there's a bit where Gwen goes into the hub and she's, you know, she's looking for John Hart because she suspects that he's in there. And there's a bit where it switches to like a first person view. You're kind of seeing what she's seeing and she's sort of looking up and whizzing around. Normally what they do is when you see a wider shot of the hub, they replace like the lighting rig at the top with like the next level up.
I know. Yeah.
So when she's the camera sort of whizzing around as she's looking around, you can just see the scaffolding and the lighting rig and stuff like that.
Oh, I hadn't noticed that. I'll have to look out for that next time. Yeah.
They didn't. It would be really difficult to replace that really quick, blurry shot with like a first-person view of the upper levels of the hub. So I think they're just like, yeah, sod it.
Yeah, forget it. No one's going to pause that, are they? Of course, we all do. Yeah, I'll tell you what I was going to say about the bit with Jack being buried, though, because that scene in the hub that you just talking about, the bit where Jack starts banging on the, you know, the morgue door, because you can hear it and you think it's got to be Jack. This is such a good moment, isn't it? Because you're kind of, ever since he got buried, you're just waiting for him to come back. It's like, you know, they've got rid of the sort of Jack's character, so you're waiting for the big return. And I thought that was such a good build-up where they can all hear this banging on the door and you're like, what's going on? And even Gray looks a bit, oh, what's happening? I thought that was a great moment, but it's a really dark thing that he's done to Jack. Very dark writing from Chibnall that... He's buried him and he's going to have to swallow dirt for the next 1,000 years and keep dying over and over again. I mean, it's a really gross image to think about.
It was 107 years.
Of swallowing of dirt just, and dying over and over again. That's a horrible thing.
That's horrible, And even really the people that suffer with claustrophobia and fear of like being buried and stuff, that was horrible when you see John Barrowman lying at the bottom of the grave and he's just happy for like, the turf just to be, you know, start piling on top of him.
I was going to say, I'm laughing. It's just because they're just throwing dirt in Barrowman's face. And I'm thinking, even as an actor, I'm not sure I would have stood for that because he looks a bit, I don't know, did they just go, oh, sorry, John, that wasn't meant to go in your eyes. We were aiming for your chest. Or it's quite an uncomfortable shot to watch. And I'm just,
yeah. Yeah, because he flinches a couple of times when the dirt hits him in the chops. And,
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the other person at the other end throwing at him, like, you know, trying to hit the spot, but yeah.
And we got a little glimpse of the previous Torchwood guys, didn't we, from back in the day. So so he turns up, he's like, look, I need you to what does he say, something like, I need you to wake me up or do something in the X amount of years kind of thing. And they're like, what are you doing? You know, this is not part of the remit. You're supposed to be working for us.
He's all covered in dirt as well, isn't he? I mean, again, unintentionally funny. I just was laughing. I was just sat there covered in expletive. But yeah, no, I mean, again, I love how they tied all that in, though. Great to have a little flashback to that, you know, which we got to see in the previous episode, the old Torchwood. Again, it's very nicely interwoven with other elements that they brought in the last couple of episodes. I really like it when they do that. It was done really well, I thought. If only he'd asked them to set it 10 minutes earlier, he could have saved Tosh. He had to set it just after she got shot, didn't he?
Well, that's it. Yeah, I wonder why he chose that date, because this is 1901, where Jack says to Torchwood, look, I need you to put me in suspended animation for 107 years. If only he'd have done it 106 years.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. How did he know which day?
He could have come.
It's one of those things, again, you could probably read too deep into it. But
of course, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Why didn't he come back a day earlier? Would have saved a lot of hassle.
That was great, though, that scene where he's banging on the door.
Oh, it's brilliant. Brilliant. Loved it.
Really cool. Because they are genuinely concerned about where he is. You know, earlier on in the episode where John Hart just takes him off, they go through the time portal thing back to, when was it, ages ago? Was it 27 AD or something?
Something like that, yeah.
And they're all like, oh, crap, where's Jack? And that seems to be, along with making sure that they're trying to rescue people that have been affected in Cardiff, their sort of main mission is like, where's Jack? Where do we get him back from? Mm. Which they can't obviously do at the time, but... so yeah, story-wise, dude, such a good story. Like, hats off to Chibbers for writing this. It's a two-parter, isn't it?
Because it's a great two-parter. Yeah, both parts have been very good. Yeah, really enjoyable. But the first part is a great setup, as you said earlier, isn't it? Really good episode, really good setup. This is a brilliant final. You know, two great stories, two great episodes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Defo. And then production-wise, fairly good. Really good pace to it as well. Even though there's quite a lot going on, the editing side of things, it does go back and forth between the main threat. Because apart from Jack, it's up to the rest of them to get everything sorted out. So they decide, don't they, that they're going to go off and try and sort out the main technology server-esque part of Cardiff so they could get communications back up and all that. Mm. But then the other side of it is they need to sort out the nuclear power station because that's going to go into meltdown. If that happens, it's goodbye Cardiff and pretty much, you know, a large portion of the UK and stuff. So they go and sort that out. So there's a lot going on. And then obviously all this stuff with Jack and Gray and everything. So it's paced really well. It's put together. It's really, like I said, there isn't that middle dip that you sometimes get.
Mm.
It's just fairly full on, you know, 100 miles an hour. After you get past that initial explosion bit in Cardiff,
the pace is brilliant. There's no dip in this at all for me. Direction was really good by Ashley Way as well. I thought very well directed. You said, all the shots are constantly moving. It's the whole episode's just moving from start to finish. There's no let up or drag or anything. Mm. Really well directed. Yeah.
Yes. Let's talk about some characters. So we had. Let's get Gray out of the way, played by.
Yeah, cool.
I think I'm saying the actor's name correctly. Apologies if not, but Lachlan Niboa.
Mm-hmm.
What did you reckon? Because I don't know, man. For me, he was okay, but it felt like he was really trying hard to be like John Barrowman, Captain Jack. You can kind of tell that Ashley Way was like, look, you are his brother, so you need to have a little bit of mannerisms that are similar. And the accent is okay.
Passable.
It's passable, I suppose. But I just felt like his performance was maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it's because the other cast members were just amazing on this particular shoot that made him pale in comparison. I'm not sure, but he just felt a little bit flat to me. He should have been the fire that's kind of stoking the evil. Plan sort of thing, you know. It's so John Hart did that little bit on his own to begin with before we found out he was being manipulated by Gray. So this guy should have been like the Joker part of the Batman, sort of the unhinged sour grapes, because he has got massive sour grapes.
And he's got a good backstory that's made him all twisted, and he didn't really come through, did it?
Not really. He just felt like a petulant child that, rather than having a legit kind of. Because the legit part of it was he felt like Captain Jack abandoned him, didn't make the effort to save him. And as a result, he was tortured for so long by these aliens, whoever captured him. So he pins the blame solely on his brother, on Jack. So that's it, really. It's just a good old-fashioned revenge. You left me to die, to be tortured, and now, you know, I'm going to do these bad things. He's that kind of thing. But he just didn't portray that with enough conviction to me. I think that's the best way to put it. What about you?
No, absolutely. You've said it bang on. I absolutely agree with you. And I think in any other episode, he probably wouldn't have stood out as much as being so below par, because he's not bad, to be fair to him. He's not bad. He's not, it's not a cringy performance. It's just not the strongest performance. And like you said, because everyone else is so on top of their game, he does stand out a bit as being like the weak link in this episode. I think, as I said, if he was in any other one, it probably wouldn't have stood out so much. But yeah, he just doesn't convey that bitter, twisted brother quite as much as I think he could have done. It doesn't feel like he's really going for it in his performance. Like you said, I think he's trying to be like Captain Jack, really. But yeah, he's just a bit, he doesn't have the threat or the sort of coolness that like John Hart does when he's, when we think he's the villain. He's absolutely, you know, bang on the money in terms of the way he's doing it and portraying that part. Yeah. Whereas Gray, yeah, he just hasn't got that quite, I don't know, he just hasn't quite got that screen presence that we needed from the bitter, twisted brother that's actually orchestrated all of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a shame. As I said, he's not bad. He's just not that good, and he's nowhere near as good as everyone else in it.
Yeah, there was no sort of close up or long sort of camera shots on him where he could portray within his facial features that he's a little bit twisted by revenge and stuff like that. He just looks like a normal guy that just happens to be like, yeah, I'm miffed off with my brother, so I'm going to do this.
I just didn't feel much particular threat from him, considering all the stuff that's going on and all the things he's orchestrated and all the stuff that's kicking off, which there is high threat level in this, but it's just not really coming from him. And Jack does the old, almost a bit like the Doctor at the end, isn't he? He's like, I forgive you. That's such a Tennant line, isn't it? When he tells him, I forgive you. I'm thinking, you know, I think he gets off lightly. If, like, I would have thought Jack would have gone ballistic at his brother, because he's basically caused the death of two of his, you know, the hub team. So although Gray gets frozen and put away, you know, I don't know if we ever see him again. I can't remember. I don't think we do. But yeah, I'm surprised Jack didn't. Well, he's not going to kill his own brother, is he? But I don't know. I expected a little bit more rage, but he kind of goes for that tenth Doctor thing, doesn't he? Of, I forgive you, which is what the Doctor does to the Master, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, John Hart does tell him to kill him. He's like,
I know. Yeah, yeah. I really like John Hart, mate. He's such a good character.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, not the best performance from Lachlan.
Lachlan. How you say it?
Yeah, I think it's Lachlan. Yeah, not the best, but I think it doesn't help that the rest of them are so good. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
We had a very quick performance from Paul Casey. He's in everything, isn't he?
Paul Casey.
Yeah, as the Weevil and the Hoyks. You know,
yeah,
the Hoyks.
Yeah, it's good to see the Hoyks back, isn't it?
Is it Love and Monsters? He was.
Yeah, I mean, it's seen so briefly on screen, and the costume is such a good costume, isn't it? It looks really good on screen, so it's good to see them getting a bit more use out of it.
Yes.
So good to see the Hoyks.
So Paul Casey is the second actor to appear in all three, Doctor Who, Torchwood and Sarah Jane.
All right. Is the other one, what's his name? Balakaffa. What's that guy's name? Jimmy V.
No, that's not Paul. Is that Paul Casey? I don't know.
No, Jimmy V's is he the other actor to have been in all three?
Oh, no, the other one is Paul Mark Davis.
Oh.
Yeah, so Paul Mark Davis, in this one, actually, he played, you know, those guys with the hoods and the scythes and swords and stuff. Mm. He played the leader one there. He played the future kind chief in Utopia and the trickster in Sarah Jane stuff.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, and then Paul Casey, yeah, he's done, loads of stuff.
Loads. Yeah, we know that name very well.
PC Andy's back for a little bit. Doesn't really do much on this one.
Oh, yeah. Now, I normally like PC Andy. I've forgotten about him. He gets on my wick in this a bit, actually. So he's normally there for the comic relief, and there's normally some fun scenes between him and Gwen. And he got on my nerves in this episode. Because he's obviously got this jealousy thing going on with Reese, isn't he? Yeah, and he makes a couple of snidey little remarks throughout this episode. And I kind of just wanted to tell him to go and do one. it's a bit of a shame that I normally like PC Andy, but no, he got on my nerves in this episode. Mm. In the way he was written, nothing to do with the performance from Tom Price, but just, yeah, it's just written to be like a jealous little, like a fly buzzing around Reese's ear, just me, 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 me.
Yeah, because Reese is, he's kind of in awe, isn't he? This is... potentially, I think, one of the first times where he's seen his missus kind of at work
do what she does. Yeah.
And he's got this little smile of pride on his face as she rallies everyone, all the police unit together, doesn't she? She's like, this is what we're going to do. You're going to do that. We're going to make sure everyone's safe. You know, off you go. And which is weird because she kind of steps up because she, up to this point, she's left her police career completely behind her. She doesn't want anything really to do with it. But it's only because the Weevils, I think it's the Weevils or the Hoiks, I think it's the Weevils, they've targeted specifically the police, the top brass, so to speak. So there's no one else in charge. So she steps up and you can see Reese's face is beaming with pride. And then he looks down at PC Andy. He's like, oh, she's brilliant, isn't she? And then I think his reply is something like, yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah, you're lucky so-and-so.
Yeah. So Kai Owen then, again, not in a huge amount, but really just love him when he's like this. You know, when him and Gwen are just on good terms, they're...
Yeah.
And he's so supportive, isn't he? He's like always there. Like, there's a bit at the end where it's all kind of hit, you know, they're on the sofa and Gwen's just devastated, really, you can tell. And he's just the shoulder that's a cry on and support and stuff. So when he's like that and the two of them are like that, I love it. He had a good one, Reese, actually, Kai Owen.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's great anyway. I like the character. I think Kai Owen plays him really well. I don't know. I mean, I should know because I've watched it before, but I genuinely can't remember if I feel like he's going to become a member of the Torchwood team in Series 3. I feel like he might be more involved with Torchwood in Series 3. I can't remember genuinely. Maybe he doesn't. But I feel like it's a natural progression because he's, over the last couple of episodes, he's got to see a lot of what goes on in Torchwood. I just feel like he's slowly being instigated into the team, but I might be wrong. I would like to see it. I'd like to see him be in it a bit more because I think he's great. I really like the character of Reese. If people are listening to this, will probably be much more familiar with Series 3. I've watched it twice, I think. I watched it when it went out and then I watched it again, but not, it's so long ago. I can't remember it at all. I can't remember hardly anything about Series 3. I know I really liked it at the time.
Mm-hmm. So
I can't remember much about it, yeah.
Yeah, let's just say that he does have a larger role to play.
He does, yeah. I guess I get that feeling, yeah. Because, you know, we've lost two characters now. He seems like the natural person to bring into it more, mm-hmm. Going forward. So, yeah.
Yeah, he definitely has a bigger role to play, put it that way.
Mm.
Yes. Okay, what about... So James Masters, and we've spoken about him as John Hart. He does have a real good one in this, doesn't he?
He's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love his jacket as well. He really suits that red, don't know, what sort of jacket is it?
A really old military sort of...
Military type thing, yeah.
Parade military kind of jacket. I can't... There's probably a word for it, but, you know.
But it suits... He wears it so well, doesn't he? It just so totally suits his look and character. And, just such a brilliantly... calculated performance from him. And he's fantastic. He's because he gets that fine line between being a bad guy but likable, like the Master. In a way, he's just, you really like his character, even though he's a bit evil, really. but also I love the fact that you're not quite sure which side he's on. Like, he is evil but he has a good side, so you know, he's kind of that in between, isn't he?
Defo.
But it's a great performance from James Masters. Absolutely brilliant.
And there is that there is that scene where he's like, look, I didn't have to come back.
Yeah.
Grey let me go. I could have gone anywhere. I didn't have to come back, but I'm here to help you sort of rescue Jack and sort of thing. So he does redeem himself a wee bit, even though he really wasn't doing it for himself anyway. But
I was going to say, we get that scene where he rips off the vortex. I mean, that's the only gross scene, I think.
Apart
from Tosh being shot, which is a bit bloody, but there's not much gore in this one. Like some of the Torchwoods, they've really upped the gore factor because it's an adult show and there's lots of swearing and sex and let's have some blood spraying across the walls. And so there's none of that really in this, but that's a bit gross when he has to peel off the skin to get the manipulator off. Mm. That's the only scene where I could see it coming a mile off. It's the only instance when they go into the cells, when they take the Weavers back to cells, like, well, don't go in, the doors are going to shut. It was a good, though. I mean, it was good because, it was like, well, how are they going to get out? It was, again, Grey very much being in control of the situation and now they're trapped. So it was a good scene, but I think that's the only moment in this where I was like, oh, no, don't, you know, I know what's going to happen here, sort of thing. But
Okay, so on to the Torchwood peeps, then. I'm going to leave two for obvious reasons. But the so Yanto then, Gareth David Lloyd. Fairly solid. Didn't really do a great deal. I don't remember being him being in it a massive amount, but
he's not, is he?
He did. He was fairly solid though. The scenes that he was in.
Yeah, he's probably the one that gets left out the most, isn't he? He gets a couple of good scenes with Tosh, doesn't he? I remember thinking, oh, they're quite a good double at those two. But yeah, he's not in it a lot, is he? I think he gets one or two good Yanto lines, but in terms of the sort of quirky things that he normally comes out with. But yeah, he's hardly in it. But yeah, he's good when he is in it.
Yeah, when he is in it.
He's just not in it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we have...
actually, no, he does get the pretty, but now what does he keep calling him? James Masters keep calling him Eye Candy.
Eye Candy, yeah.
Those scenes are quite funny when he's like really getting angry and... Because that's what I mean. He's sort of going over the top. Where's Jack? He's really going for it. And John Hart's just like, calm down, Eye Candy. You know, it just cuts it dead, doesn't it? So, yeah, he does get a couple of good scenes like that towards the end, thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah. He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's heartbreaking as well. We'll come on to that. Mm. So Eve Miles then, I think we spoke about Eve Miles. She's another great performance. Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Yeah.
John Barrowman then as Captain Jack. Equally as good, in my opinion. Really, the production for him was probably quite intense, I would have thought, because he's even though he's buried for a bit, we don't, you know, that passes by fairly quickly as the viewer, but he's in it a lot from start to finish. You know, it's he has a lot to do as well. He has a couple of stunts, he has a couple of bits where he's been tortured, and then he's been shot and then buried alive, and then the emotional side of things as well. So he has the physical stuff that he has to do as well, which is probably no biggie for him. He was in reasonably good shape, you know, still at this point. But then the flip side of that is all the emotional stuff that he had to act through as well, when going through the stuff, the realization of his brother and all that. And then at the end, the heartbreaking stuff at the end, it must have been a real sort of heavy shoot for him. So at the end, he was probably knackered.
He's really put through the ringer. In this story. And I think he's very good in it. I think he handles it well. All the torture stuff, the being buried, that he does have to convey a lot of emotion as well, the anger. But when he does come back, he feels in control. I love it when we get scenes like that. So I was on about the bit where he's banging on the morgue doors, and then when he finally gets set free, he kind of struts through the Torchwood hub, and you're like, yeah, Jack's back, and he's going to sort it all out. And yeah, so he was good in this, in the scenes. And I particularly like that bit when they first dig him up, you know, and he's trying to convince the other Torchwood, the old Torchwood, like they've got to bury him. He was really sort of going for it. He's like, well, I haven't got time for this. I've crossed my own timeline. And, you know, he was good. He was very good in this. Yeah.
You odd. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Who should we do first then? Let's do Owen first, Bern Gorman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think Tosh, she has the final say, I guess, at the end of the episode. So it comes down to really Bern Gorman's character, like you said, just has such a great sort of sending off performance, I suppose.
It's a brilliant send off. Yeah.
But it's that bit, isn't it, where he's just doing his job, and he has a couple of good scenes. There's a bit where he's at the hospital and he comes across the Hoyks, and, you know, he has to put the tranquilizer dart in and stuff, and you know, and it's you know, it's a fairly meaty part of the story for him. But really, he shines, doesn't he, at the end, where he's gone to the nuclear power plant and Tosh is guiding him through how he, you know, shuts some systems down and redirects stuff and that. But then there's that just that heartbreaking bit where they both realize that he's done for.
Yeah.
And like you said,
there's no getting out of it. Yeah.
It's a little bit like at the end of Time Part Two, you know, where the Doctor realizes that he can't do anything. He has to save Wilf.
Yeah.
And he kicks off a little bit, you know, it's that kind of vibe, isn't it? Where he realizes that now's not his time. He doesn't want to go, but, you know, it's out of his hands, both of their hands. And that,
accepts it.
That conversation between the two of them, bloody hell.
Yeah, it's the bit where he's like, give me one reason why I shouldn't. And she's like, because you're breaking my heart. It's like, oh my God. Yeah, really emotional stuff. And the performances, I don't know if they were like Well, I doubt they were together filming it, so they must have been doing it separately, I assume, and then edited together. I don't know, but you really feel like, oh, I don't know how they did it, how they filmed it, but the performance between the two of them in that scene is phenomenal. They're both amazing. It's gut wrenching, and yes, it is the perfect send off as well. It's like, you know, when you kill off characters, it's often done, and it can be done in quite a clunky way. This just totally feels like the perfect, although I don't want to see either of them go, I certainly don't want to see them die, but it's the perfect sort of way to finish off their relationship, which has been so on and off over series two. And now we finally get to see the raw emotion from both of them. Like, the guards are totally dropped. Any sort of, you know, coyness and beating around the bush, it's gone out the window, because this is like their final time to actually say what they, you know, their true feelings. And it's raw emotion, brilliantly acted from both of them. I was in bits. So I was just like, and I can't believe I've forgotten this scene. I was like, this is amazing. How have I forgotten how good this is?
They're both
brilliant in it, but it's a great send off for Byrne.
Yeah.
And he's superb in those scenes. Yeah. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. And it's weird because not forgetting completely, but I just knew that at the end of series two, there was an emotional goodbye. I knew that, but I hadn't seen it in so long. I just thought, yeah, I've been kind of up and down with these characters throughout series one and two. Oh, you know, I can't see myself being that upset, really. But yeah, like you, mate, when it got to that point and the episode finished, I was just speechless just for about 2 minutes.
Too, yeah.
I just sat there. I was like, bloody hell.
And do you know what I think it is as well? Is because the character, you know, Owen, he's been a bit of a, you know what, to Tosh at times, isn't he? He's been a bit harsh on her, and, you know, he's played with her emotions a little bit. And it's just so nice to see him finally just giving her what she wants and being nice and genuinely heartfelt towards her. I think that's what makes it such a nice moment. He's finally like, you know, the guard is down, the sort of, you know, the front that Owen often puts on of being like the ladies man and I don't need anyone else, and all that. It's all gone. That, you know, it's time to stop all that, and he just tells her. Yeah, so it's amazing.
Yeah, it's that moment, isn't he, when he realises that he's got nothing else. There's no ego here anymore. Yeah, there's nothing. It's just
no time for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the apology as well.
Yep.
And it was definitely a, I'm getting choked up now just talking about it.
I know,
it, but,
same, yeah, yeah. But if that wasn't heart-wrenching enough, you then get the bit with Tosh. It's like, yeah, I thought I couldn't handle anymore. I was just like, oh, God, no, that was, you know, I'm in bits already, and we haven't even got onto Tosh leaving. Oh, that is just a real double whammy.
Yeah, because it's different with the Tosh ending, because with Owen, it's not any worse or any better, because he's met his end, you know, that's not any better. But I think it hits home a bit more with Tosh, because she's there physically and the others are, you know, and it's just heartbreaking.
But they're working together. That's what I love. They're just in their last moments, they're working together. That's again, just works so brilliantly as a scene. Yeah.
And then we get that, this, to close the episode out, then we get the, oh mate, hold on.
It is emotional. I was in bits last night. I was genuinely in bits.
Indeed.
Much more than I was expecting.
Yeah. So the video at the end.
I didn't expect that either. It's such a nice moment. You emotional bugger. Yeah, I was the same, buddy. Absolutely the same.
Right. Tosh, she sends this video at the end, and she's like, basically, because she's like the computer whiz and everything. She knows that if they do the final, it's like almost like they're being erased from, it's like HR doing the, you don't work here anymore.
I know. It's like it's that, isn't it? How quickly they do it. Yeah.
And then she's like, she knows, because, you know, she's been in and out of the system. She knows it inside out. So she knows that if they execute that particular computer command, whatever, she knows that they're doing it for that very reason, that she's dead. So she recalls that little video, and she's like, you know, everything's fine. Don't be sad. It's all good. Oh, and it's just that at the end.
It's, And it's, again, a brilliant piece of writing, because that is such a tosh thing to do, isn't it? She's that computer whiz. She would put that little hidden message in. And it also ends the episode so brilliantly, because how else... It puts a nice emotional little cap on the ending, doesn't it? Rather than just them deleting them and saying, you know, we carry on. There's this one last little beautiful moment. So it's a really lovely touch, that, I thought, to a really great way to end the episode. Like, as if we haven't had enough emotion, and it's all worked. It's all brilliant, so well written that it's absolutely hitting every spot. And then just to give us that one last little twang of the heartstrings, it was the perfect end to the episode, I thought.
It was
such a Tosh thing to do. So I like, that's really clever. That's exactly what Tosh would do.
Definitely, lovely moment.
And
that kind of leaves it open a little bit. It's a little bit ambiguous as to, as I mentioned earlier, whether torture would come back or not, because Jack's like, you know, we carry on. What they've done is not for nothing, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then Gwen's like, I'm not sure I can. I can't carry on, sort of thing. And he's like, yeah, you'll be all right. And that sort of closes out the episode, because then it's just around, we see the news report and Reese and Gwen on the sofa, sort of thing. And then it pans out from Cardiff. And it's just a real... I don't know, it's just got a real kind of poignant end. Because I think from here on in, series three onwards are very different in terms of what we had for one and two for Torchwood.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to rewatching series three, because I remember liking it at the time, but I do have this gut feeling that is it going to be as good as I remember, because it was different. And I think that's what I liked about it. It was a different format. It had a fresh feel to it, but that was then. And I'm wondering if that's still going to resonate now on a rewatch. So I'm actually quite looking forward to getting into series three. But the thing is, with series two, obviously we found it a bit of a slog at times, and we had a bit of a gap in between episodes, which I don't think helped. But it feels to me like it's only really just kicked in the last sort of second half of series two. So series one had some good moments, some good episodes, but it was a bit clunky and there were things that they didn't get right. And then series two, we felt like they'd gone back and looked at series one to see what worked, what they needed to change, and they were starting to do that, but there were still a few clunky moments in series two. And then it feels to me like the second half, it's really kicked into gear. We've had some really good episodes towards the second end of, you know, second part of series two. So I almost feel like I wish it has left me wanting more. So even though we found it a bit of a slog, when it has been good, series two has been really good, and especially the second half of it. And I do feel a little bit sad now that we've lost those two cast members, because I sort of feel like I know that the next series is going to be different.
And I
kind of want a bit more of what we've had in the last couple of episodes, because it's really been on fire. I think it's reminded me how good Torchwood was, which I needed, because for the first series and some of the first part of series two, I'd forgotten how not good Torchwood. Like, I wasn't enjoying it as much as I expected. Like, when we said we were going to start reviewing it, I remember really liking Torchwood at the time, and I was watching it thinking, a lot of this is nowhere near as good as I remembered. Like, there was a lot of episodes that were very below par, and I thought, God, you know. But this last part of series two is really reminding me that there was some great stuff in there. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be intrigued to move on to series three to see how that fares. But
I agree.
Second part of series two has been very good, I think, apart from that one episode which I really didn't like, which I think you didn't mind, actually. So we had, there was two episodes. There was the one with the clown circus, which I really liked, that you didn't. And then there was the episode with the shell, where Owen was carrying around a shell, which I didn't like, but you didn't mind it. So it's been a bit hit and miss, but last few episodes I think have been very strong, very strong.
Yeah.
And they feel like there's more to go, you know. There feels like there's a lot more potential that perhaps we could have had from this, you know, setup, if you like.
No,
the
I agree, dude.
Stuff on the island with Jack, with all those people they got, you know, on the island and stuff. There's a lot of stuff sort of been thrown into the mix very late in the day in series two, which I feel like could have been explored a bit more.
No, I agree. It definitely feels like a slow burn, the first two series of Torchwood. And like you've mentioned, it's been a little bit up and downy. There's been some really strong episodes. And that's the thing, when Torchwood's on fire and it's been written well, it's really good.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a really, really good program to watch. When it's not so, it's just really average and kind of forgettable, filler. Unfortunately.
Yeah,
there was
a lot of filler.
Loads of episodes that I'd completely forgotten about, like 100% forgotten about from series one and two until we rewatched them. And I was like, oh, yeah, now I remember. But yeah, they're just gone from my memory just because they were really average or subpar. But yeah, like episodes like this, when it's on, it's a really, really good show. Really good. Mm. Yeah. All right, dude. Have you got any more thoughts on this before we put a score on it?
No, I'm just looking at my notes. I'm laughing because I've just written Tosh Hart Owen. it's like the last note I've got on my pad. No, I haven't. I don't think I've got anything else to say. I just thought it was a really good end to the series.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just very quickly, as a quick follow-on from this, which is a kind of a bridge story between series one and two, there was an audio story that went out, not from Big Finish, but from the BBC directly, back in 2008, called Lost Souls, which was written by Joseph Lidster.
Oh, yeah.
And Martha's back in that one. So it stars John Barrowman, Gareth David Lloyd, Eve Miles and Freema Agyeman. And they are back with Martha doing another adventure, but it kind of follows on. Because with Torchwood Series 3, like I said, it's a little bit of a different feel and a different vibe for Torchwood. Mm. And it doesn't feel like it's a complete carry on from the end of series two, whereas this audio play is very good, Lost Souls, and it does pick up reasonably soon after Tosh and Owen die, and there's a few scenes near the beginning where they're discussing the funeral and some other bits and pieces and how they're coping and stuff. But it's a really good little story. It's nothing, you know, it doesn't go in people's top threes or anything, or Torchwood audio plays, but it's worth checking out. It's a very cool little story.
Oh, I'll track that down. I've never heard of that.
Yes.
This definitely feels like a bit of an end of an era, doesn't it, I suppose? I think that's the thing. You know that, like you said about that being the last time we see the Torchwood gang all together as we know them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does feel like an end of an era. There is just one last note I've just spotted, which I must mention, actually, and that is Space Pig gets a mention. And I love the fact they tied that in. So Tosh mentions it in the really sad scene between her and Owen at the end, doesn't she? She's like, oh, I remember that time I had to cover for you. And, you know, and he's like, oh, what, Space Pig? She's like, yeah, Space Pig. And I thought, oh, my word. I love the fact that the Chibbers did that. You know, a great and just a brilliant, like, tie-in to Doctor Who as well. A lovely nod to that episode. So, yeah, I'm so glad Space Pig got a mention.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we discussed it in an episode or two before that. Yeah. We were like, is it, what episode was the Space Pig? I can't remember. It was Ninth Doctor, wasn't it, Eccleston?
It was, End of the World, World War III. No, not End of the World. Aliens in London, yeah. World War III, yeah.
Because I thought it was Tenth Doctor for some reason, and he corrected me, and it was like, yeah. But yeah, the little Space Pig.
Brilliant.
Got to mention, yeah. Right, scores on the doors. I think it's you to go first, dude.
Yeah, I'll go first. I'm going to give this a 9 out of 10.
A 9?
A very strong 9, yeah.
Strong, dude. Yeah.
I'm only really knocking a point off for, you know, Gray's performance, possibly, and maybe the effects of the explosions, but it was really strong, really strong. So, 9 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, dude. 9 for me as well. A really strong 9. I've knocked a point off because I was a little bit sort of bamboozled in hindsight around John Hart and why he carried on for a while, and then the performance from Lachlan with Gray. You know, it's not perfect by any means, but nothing really. You know, there's rarely any perfect 10 out of 10s for us anyway.
Yeah,
but it's a real strong 9, dude. Love this episode. Very cool. Got a good mix of action, suspense, and just destroys you at the end.
Absolutely. You know, so yeah, I was glad I was on my own when I watched the end, let's put it that way.
Yeah, same, mate. Yeah. Defo. Okay, okay, so it's a 9 from both of us then. What did our awesome listeners think? We're going to kick off first of all with the audio reviews, and this is Joe Turner.
Exit Wounds is an absolutely outstanding end to series 2. It's emotional, fast-paced, hilarious and gory. Reese and Andy are brilliant, bouncing off each other really well. There's weevils all over the street, weird Grim Reaper type men, and a Hoekstrom love of monsters. I love the character of John Hart. He's overconfident and obnoxious, yet you can't help but love him, and he's played amazingly well by James Masters. It's shocking when it's revealed Grey is behind the carnage that's unfolded and not John, but at the same time it's tragic. Grey's theme is emotionally sensational. To hear what he's gone through explains why he is the way he is. I love how every member of Torchwood is given something important to do, including Reese. Grey shooting Tosh is shocking, and it comes out of nowhere. Yet, even though she's in pain, she continues to help Owen control the radiation levels. The death of Owen and Tosh is heartbreaking, and when she says, "Because you're breaking my heart," and the music plays in the background, it brings tears to my eyes. The conversation between the pair before they die is so emotional. The dialogue is great, and we get clarity on the space big, and they practically declare their love for one another. Bern Gorman and Naki Omora deliver a stellar performance. And if that isn't enough, we get a video message from Tosh right at the end, and when she mentions her love for Owen, it really, really hits home. So overall, I can't fault this episode, and I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. Thank you.
A 10.
Straight out the trap with a 10. Lovely.
Understandable. Yeah, understandable, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. And I agree with you. It's it's at the end, as Adam said earlier, you think you're done with the emotional stuff, and then wallop at the end with that video from Tosh. Yeah, emotional stuff.
When she got shot as well, mate, I don't know about you, but I wasn't expecting, even though I've seen it before, yeah. I still wasn't expecting it. I was like, whoa, it does come out of nowhere, doesn't it? I was like, oh, no.
Defo. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wanted to punch Grey in the face when he did that.
Yeah, little git.
You know, back, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. A 10 out of 10, much appreciated. Moving on, this is Mr. Neil Campbell.
What about you, fellas? How's it going? So, Torchwood Series 2 finale. It's a good episode, but I don't think it lives up to the hype, especially after such a good cliffhanger at the end of the penultimate story. I think the character Grey, I like the whole twist, but at the same time, I think the actual portrayal of him and even the characterization, it's a bit wooden. That might sound a bit harsh, but then even Jack, you think, has killed him, but it turns out he hasn't. He's just sort of locked him away in a freezer. I'm just sort of like, meh, a bit underwhelming. I think Owen and Tosh being killed off was very sad. Just, you know, the way sort of Owen just sort of disappeared into that sort of nuclear explosion. And then Tosh's, you know, the goodbye for her, it was terrible. Like, but the scenes were, you know, they were packing their stuff away and, you know, they disappeared on the computer screen. They got, like, deleted effectively. I thought that was very, very difficult, very hard. It's a good story, but I just don't think it was executed as well as it could have been. Again, good performances from Jack, Gwen. I think Reese is an absolute legend. And, yeah, it's sad in the end what happened to them, but, I mean, it was always going to happen because I think some of the characters were used for padding a bit, you know, throughout the series. But all in it, it's good. It could have been a bit better. I'll give it a 7.5. Cheers.
A 7.
7.5 from Neil. Thinks that
7.5.
Could have been executed better, but likes the performances and very much. Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Interesting thought on that one, Neil. Could have been executed better. Yeah, you might. Well. Okay, we respect your decision on that one, dude, with a 7.5, though. Yeah. Moving on, this is Sammy Satine.
Hey, Gary and Adam, Sammy Satine here. So, Exit Wounds. This is the timeless children of Torchwood. If you would like to hear a better story, / stories with Captain John Hart in them, I recommend The Sins of Captain John by Big Finish. Now, the giant elephant in the room, Grey. The timeless child of Torchwood. I cannot fully express how much I hate this character and the concept. The actor is so incredibly wooden and not at all seeming like a torture victim. Captain Jack does his best to make up for it, but it's not enough. Adepts as Owen and Tosh just save it, but honestly sacrificed on the altar of a poor episode. I give it 4 Captain John Harts out of 10. See ya.
Sammy.
Wow. Gosh. I'm shocked.
The timeless child of Torchwood.
Comparing it to the timeless child.
Wow.
Actually, that does remind me. That was one thing that I was confused about. Maybe you can help just quickly. So, obviously, we know that Jack can't die because of what happened with Rose. But is his brother Grey slightly immortal? Is he lived a long time? I couldn't work out what the deal was with him. I don't know. Like, it seemed like he'd been, didn't they say, like, he was tortured for so many years? I was thinking, so he's not immortal as well, is he? I don't know. Well, clearly he's not, but yeah, I wasn't quite sure what the deal was with Gray.
No, I don't think so, because
no. No, I may have just read into that more than I should have done. No, if you know what I mean.
The reason why Jack's immortal is because of what happened
with Rose.
With Rose,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't.
No, he's probably just old. Maybe, yeah. Don't know.
Okay. Sammy not feeling it though.
No.
Not liking it.
Not feeling it at all.
No. No. Thank you very much for your review though, Sammy. What was it, a four?
Four. Out of 10.
Yeah. Anyway, last one. This is TARDISnet 66.
Exit Wounds, a fantastic conclusion to Torchwood Series 2, and really an amazing conclusion to this era of Torchwood. It brings so many elements from earlier in the series together to a satisfying end. It's great to see Captain John Hart back again, being controlled by Grey as the villain of the story, as Jack's brother, set up earlier in the series, with a focus on Jack's guilt and regret. The story really fixates on Grey's pain he's been through in his backstory and his direct anger towards Jack, with lots of cruelty having been affected by his past. I think, unfortunately, the actor doesn't do a lot with the performance, though. The stakes are already raised in this story, and Gwen really takes charge. There is also a very emotionally satisfying and tragic ending with the loss of Owen and Tosh, which wraps up their characters perfectly and brings consequences to the Torchwood job. I'd give an 8 out of 10.
An 8?
An 8. Poor old Gray's getting a lot of stick in that today. Is. Oh. His ears will be burning.
Yeah. You know what they love? Your ears look red.
Yeah. Just gone for an audition for a play and his ears are burning.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm sure he's a lovely dude. You know, he's probably a great... You know, probably a great actor in other stuff, but I don't know, it just doesn't really land, does it, unfortunately?
I think he works as a, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Thank you very much, Will. Old TARDISnet 66.
Yeah.
Your audio reviews, everybody, Joe, Neil, Sammy, and Will, very much appreciated, as always. Let's zip over to the socials. We only had a few in this week, so short and sweet, I'm sure. Over on Twitter, we had Jordan Shortman, one of our writers, said, I remember this one being brilliant. James Marsden is always likeable as John, though Jack's brother left some acting to be desired.
Oh, God, those ears.
For me, though, Tosh's death is one of the TV moments of my young years I will never fully get over.
I'm not surprised.
For me, this is the best series of Torchwood. Thank you very much, Jordan. Mm. Chippy T says, I like to call this the TARDIS episode. It fits 2 hours worth of story into 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's breathless in every sense. It has more cliffhangers than McCoy and sadder than a bad Wolf Beach departure. In Tosh, we had a modern-day Liz Shaw. Chibbers, I salute you. Families, eh? 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. Cool.
That's a really interesting comparison, a modern-day Liz Shaw. Yeah. Not far off there, Chippy T. Thank you very much. Tom Titan Sci-Fi says, love/hate this story. Tosh is so good in his story, but then killed off. So 9 out of 10. Doctor Who Home says, this as a common thread with Chibnall finales, it's just a bit messy. There's some nice moments and ideas in there, but as a whole, I feel it misses a little bit. Nice set pieces and great character deaths, so that bumps it up a bit, but I never found Grey convincing, so a 6.5.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Maria, another one of our writers, says, devastation all around. Aside from the actor playing Grey, everyone plays a blinder. Owen is king of the weevils, and yes, I cried buckets and buckets as we lost him and Tosh. Two of the best, a 10 out of 10 from Maria.
10.
Lovely. And just one over on Facebook from Andrew Stewart says, this is a great ep and has a great twist where it turns out Captain John wasn't the big villain after all, it was Grey. Even though the actor who plays Grey has just come out of drama school, it didn't wear down the story too much for me. The ending is heartbreaking when Owen is acting like anyone would do in the anticipation of their death, yet calms down when Tosh says he's breaking her heart, which shows he really cares and loves her, even though he doesn't like to show it. However, the big impact was when they were packing Tosh and Owen's stuff away and deleting their files. That was a real gut punch overall. So 9 out of 10. This shows why I think Chibnall is prone to writing more adult shows.
I did think that, you know. I did think, is it like... Because I just couldn't work out if he can write something this good. And like the pacing as well. I mean, very often his Doctor Who's are so disjointed for me personally. And I just, yeah, the pacing often seems very off. And yet this, it just, yeah, it was just firing on all cylinders, I thought.
So,
I wondered that.
Indeedy, yes. So thank you very much, everyone, as always, for your input. Love the audio reviews and your tweets and your Facebook messages. I think this week is fairly consistent. We had a couple of, not too keen on it. But overall, I think this is a really well-liked story, and rightly so, in our opinion. It's got everything in there. And, that's going to do it for episode 325. In terms of what we're going to come on to next for our reviews, just a heads up that they're, Adam's going to be away now for a couple of weeks on holidays. So there might be a show land in the next 2 weeks, but there might not be. So just keep an eye on the socials. I might get the writers together and do a bit of a roundtable, or I might just do a solo show. If there's any big news that lands or anything like that to update you guys on, I will do that. But just a heads up, there might not be any content from us for the next couple of weeks. But when we do return, dude, what are we going to look at?
We'll be returning with a First Doctor story. The Gunfighters from Series 3, The Gunfighters. Yeah, is that the one with that song in it? The Last Chance Saloon? I don't know. I haven't watched that for a while. But Gunfighters.
Yeah, The Gunfighters.
The Last Chance Saloon, yeah. I think it's that one. I don't know. I haven't got a clue.
Yeah, so that will be approximately week 3. Of October. In fact, I'll tell you exactly when it will be. That will land on Friday the 15th of October. So keep an eye out on the socials for what's happening in between that stuff. And we'll come on to the Gunfighters. But I think we're going to wrap there, dude, for 325.
All righty.
Thank you so much for coming back for another week to listen to the Big Blue Box podcast. It's been great having you back listening to the show. We got a bit of mosh there at the end, but I don't care.
We're modern men. We can show emotion.
We can show, yeah.
We're not Cybermen, are we?
Of course not, no.
Or Robermen.
Yes, indeed. So got a bit of mosh there, which we do not apologise for. So a 9 out of 10. For both of us for that one. As I mentioned just then, maybe no show, no stuff for a couple of weeks, but we'll be back mid-October with the Gunfighters. So get your BritBox fired up for that, or your DVDs out, whatever you've got, because we'll be asking for your thoughts as always. In the meantime, make sure you follow our show, whatever podcast you use, whatever app, sorry, you use to listen to your podcast on. Give us a follow. You won't miss a show when it lands on a Friday. And if you've got a second to leave a review on something like podchaser.com or Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, that kind of thing, if you like the show, of course, then that would be awesome. And thank you to everyone that's left reviews thus far. Thank you very much. So listen to the show on your podcast app. If you listen in a browser on your computer or whatever, you can do that over on the website, which is www.bigblueboxpodcast.co.uk. They're all available there for free to listen for your listening pleasure. And also on the website, check out all of the really good reviews and convention roundups and reports and articles, all that stuff from our awesome writing team. Go and check it out on the website there. And you can link off to the socials. We're on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Give us a like and a follow over there as we chat Doctor Who and other bits and bobs throughout the week. And we have a free Discord server as well. Again, the link is on the website. Come and hang out over there and chat plenty of Doctor Who and other stuff like Torchwood and Sarah Jane and all that malarkey. Also, remember to check out my co-host channel over on YouTube. It is, of course, The Geek's Handbag.
The Geek's Handbag, yeah. Going to have a look at my new vids. I've got loads on there for you to enjoy. And I'm also on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That's my fave, Insta.
Yeah, go and have a butcher's over at Adam's stuff. Yeah, loads of cool geeky stuff. Not just Doctor Who. There's the odd movie review and other geeky bit over there. So go and check it all out. But yeah. Go and do that. And as Adam said, sorry, he's on the socials too. So go and do that too. Until next time, then, for episode 326, my name's Gary.
My name's Adam.
And remember,